Before we start the show, this is a bit of unscripted dialogue here. So as I was editing the final touches of this episode, I found out that Ian Punnett sadly passed away. Now, if you don't know who Ian Punnett is, he was the guest host, one of many, on Coast to Coast AM. And if you're a fan of this podcast and many others like it, you probably know what Coast to Coast AM is. But if you don't, it is a radio show that comes on at midnight, at least at my time, till about 3 to 4 in the morning, with subject matters similar to this podcast. Now, I can tell you that Coast to Coast AM greatly influenced me in starting this podcast. Of course, with Art Bell, but after he left, George Norrie took over and a bunch of guest hosts. Some of my favorite include Connie Willis, Richard Serrett, and yes, Ian Punnett, and John B. Wells. And when I heard about Ian Punnett, I don't know, just really sad. He was a great interviewer, great host, and I'm sure gonna miss him. Thank you, Ian, for all the great late night memories. Rest in peace, friend. All right, let's get into some stories. Our story begins in 1887 in the quiet woods of Wexford County, Michigan. Legend has it that there is a half-man, half-dog. A couple, out for a moonlit stroll, claimed to have encountered a creature that defied explanation. Descriptions of the Michigan dogman soon echoed through the hills and the valleys, setting the stage for a legend that would endure for generations. Then, in 1938, a man was fishing along the Muskegon River when a pack of wild dogs started to attack him. Now, he was able to scare off most of them by firing a shotgun into the air. However, one just didn't seem to be fazed by the firing, and instead, it stood on its hind legs and glared at him. Similar sightings occurred more frequently throughout the 1950s. Then, more reports started to flood in the 1960s. According to the legend, it is said to be around 7 feet tall, with fur covering its body. Sightings of the creature have been reported in various parts of Michigan, but in more recent years, it's been seen all across the US and Canada. Witnesses have described eerie, howling sounds and encounters with a creature matching the dogman's description. While skeptics dismiss these accounts as hoax or misidentifications of other animals, they simply just can't be ignored or explained. Now, I have searched all over the net to find real dogman howls. Take a listen. What kind of wicked game are these creatures playing? So Conrad, you may be surprised what the first sighting that I have here is right near our kind of home area, right in Fredericksburg, Texas.
So Fredericksburg, for those who don't know, is a tourist town in Texas. It used to be a old German colony, I guess, where a bunch of German immigrants settled in Texas. But now it's just a tourist town. I've only met one actual German couple. It's not really what I would consider out in the middle of nowhere, but there are a lot of game ranches around Fredericksburg. So I would say that there's a lot of territory for things to roam, but you wouldn't think that it would be a hot spot for cryptids.
Well, I would say Texas in general wouldn't consider it a hot spot for any kind of cryptid, really. Surprisingly, we just don't have a lot of sightings, just a bunch of lore and myths. But now we do have this sighting. Now, this happened on June 27, 2020, so very recently. I was driving back to Austin, Texas, from a trip to Southern California. I had my daughter and her daughter, 6-year-old, asleep in the car. I had taken 290 East off I-10. It was around 11 p.m. We had gone a few miles on 290. When coming up over a hill and looking down at the bottom of the hill, I picked up a pair of yellow almond-shaped eyes right off the road. This part of 290 is fairly remote and heavily wooded with scrub oak. There were no other vehicles on the road at the time. The deer population here in the hill country of Texas is huge, and I was extremely vigilant because I had already passed a number of deer along the side of the road. As we got closer, my headlights revealed a large, what I thought at first was a wolf. However, it wasn't a wolf or a coyote. It was on all fours and in a crouch defensive posture about 20 feet off the side of the road. It had its head down and its front legs were bent, but it was still taller at the shoulders, about 3 to 4 feet, than its rear. It had a triangular head with pointed ears and a short tail. It was broad across the shoulders with narrow hips and a long neck. The coat on this creature was heavy, bushy below the neck, on the front of the legs, and tapered off towards the rear with the short tail being bushy. The front legs looked very muscular, and the feet were not real distinctive because of the grass, so I could not see it. It never took its eyes off of us as we went past, and it maintained the same posture, which I thought was unusual because I expected it to turn and run back into the tree lines. My daughter got the best look at this thing as we went by. My daughter quickly informed me that it was not a coyote or wolf, and not to stop and keep driving because she said it was a dog man, which I've never heard before. This is the most perplexing wildlife encounter I've ever had. I grew up in Texas and have deer hunted all over the state when I was younger. I moved to California for 17 years and lived adjacent to the National Forest, where I saw an abundance of coyotes, bobcats, and on one occasion a close encounter with a cougar. This, though, made my hairs stand up on my arms as we got down the road, and I will never forget it. So that was the one in Fredericksburg, Texas.
So one of the things that you said, which you quickly corrected, was that you said that it had a rectangular, and then you changed that to
triangular.
Did you know that there are dogmen that actually do have rectangular-ish heads?
I'm sure I must have read a story with it, but it doesn't ring a bell at this moment.
No. Well, there are 7 types of dogmen. I haven't found all of them or all the different types, but the most common ones are the ones that are just have the regular knees that bend backwards like a canine.
Right. I've heard that.
That's just your regular dogman. But the second most common is what they call a type 3 dogman, which has its knees bend the other way, and is typically seen as humanoid in the way that it stands, and typically seeming more muscular than your regular dog man, and having more of an ape-like appearance and a shorter snout. They say that it's often misviewed as a Bigfoot. And then 2 other types that I found mention of, but no stories for, is the fathead dog man and the hyena dog man. You know, the fathead one, it's just your regular dog man, but with the knees that bend backwards, except its head is not triangular. It's just larger and blockier, not really dog shaped.
Interesting.
And the hyena one, they just said it had different colorations, looked like a hyena pelt, which I wouldn't necessarily call that one hyena if that's all that's different, because a hyena is not a canine and it's not a feline either. It's its own designation. It's a very odd animal. I would imagine that a hyena, like Dogman, you wouldn't even call it a Dogman. You would call it a Hyena Man, because it's not a dog, not a canine.
Definitely haven't heard of a Hyena Man before.
I don't think I'd want to.
Yeah, I don't think I want to see any of them.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hyenas, though, are, I think, less choosy when it comes to what they're eating and that sort of thing. I would imagine that a hyena man would be, I don't know, more likely to see you as something to eat. Whereas Dogman, all the stories I've heard about them being aggressive and that sort of thing tends to be not for food. It's just maybe territorial or maybe defensive, but I've never heard of one eating its prey or eating a human. I've heard of it eating livestock, but not humans. But I've heard of it killing humans. I found this one story. I don't know if you'd want me to go into this one. In the Texas oil field, I think this would be probably more northwest, out towards Odessa, not close to the center of Texas like the one you were just describing. This fella was on his way to work. He was out of prison and he was rehabbing and he did not have a driver's license. So he would hitchhike to work every morning, and there was generally a fella who knew him who would pick him up at the same spot along the road almost every day and take him to work, kind of helping him out. But he would hitchhike with other people as well. Well, this morning, he was leaving home, and instead of his normal routine of telling his wife goodbye, he left without much communication because they had had a fight the previous night, so they weren't really talking, and he went out at his usual time, but he didn't come back that night, and she called around, the wife did, called to her mother-in-law to see if he had been staying over at his mother's house, because she was thinking that he didn't come home because he was still mad at her. And she said, no, he's not at my house. And then the next morning, the boss calls and said, hey, he's not at work. What's going on? And she said, he didn't come back home last night. So a manhunt began. They were looking for him. The police came out to the house and they went and they were trying to find his tracks because they have a dirt road that would lead up to the highway where he would hitchhike. And they were checking his regular hitchhike spots. What they assumed is he had, you know, hitchhiked with like a serial killer or something. And that's why he didn't go to work. But they couldn't find any tracks leading towards the road. Instead, one of the deputies actually looked the opposite direction past the house and he spotted the backpack he would normally take to work, it was leaning up against a tree. So he went walking the opposite direction back into the woods where opposite from the direction he normally would have been going. And he found tracks in the creek bed that led him down in a ways. He found the man's body crawled up. He had crawled up underneath some brambles and his neck was cut open. And his shirt was missing. So upon examination, they determined that he had been attacked by a canine because of the dog fur found on his body. They brought out park rangers and all sorts of people to investigate what sort of an animal it had been that attacked him. And they started ruling out animal after animal. They ruled out wild dog. They actually thought it was a wild dog at first, until they came to the conclusion that he had been attacked while standing up, and that after being attacked, having his neck cut, he tried to escape from the animal and crawled up underneath the bush for protection. Then they assumed maybe it was a mountain lion. They brought out a mountain lion expert, and he immediately said, no, this is not a mountain lion. I've seen multiple mountain lion attacks on wildlife and one attack on humans, but I've never seen anything like this. This is definitely not a mountain lion. So they eventually just came to the conclusion that he had been killed by an unknown animal. They ruled out dogs later on because he didn't have any takedown marks. Normally, a wild dog will bite at the hands or the legs and that sort of thing and drag the animal or the human to the ground when it attacks. But there was no takedown marks on him. The only marks were thin scratches, deep but thin, along his back, upper back, and upon his shoulders and torso, upper torso. So the scratches, though, looked like they were, well, they were too thin for a bear. They were looked more like a cat's scratches. However, the dog fur ruled that out, and his neck the cut there was not claws, but they determined that was a bite mark, much bigger than that of a mountain lion. So it would have had to have the mouth the size of a bear, but the claws the same as a big tiger or something. It also would have had to have been able to attack him while he was standing. They eventually ruled that he was just killed by an unknown animal, is the official result.
However, is very weird.
Yeah. So most people are saying that it was Dogman, or at least in the Reddit circles. His pack, they assumed that he sat down in an attempt to placate the animal as it was approaching. It wasn't tossed aside, but sat down as you might do as if something was approaching you and you were trying to, you know, get it to calm down. Hey, you know, that sort of a thing.
Interesting.
But here's another thing that's taken into consideration. Whatever it was, he wasn't trying to climb up into a tree or run away from it. He was trying to hide from it by crawling under something, which makes almost certain that this thing was huge. It would have been taller than him, or about as tall as him, because how else would it have been able to bite him? The scratches on his back seem as though whatever it was trying to claw him and pull him closer, try and keep him from escaping so it could bite him. But that's just not the sort of thing that a wild animal, you know, they normally drag you to the ground. And then you wouldn't try to escape from a bipedal animal, not a bipedal, a quadrupedal animal, like a, I don't know, even a cougar. You wouldn't try to crawl up under something. That'd be kind of counterproductive. You would want to try and stay off the ground.
Yeah, you want to try and get some kind of height on it.
Well, maybe not climb a tree if it's a mountain lion. That'd be almost as futile. But a wolf, obviously, that would be a bad choice to go up underneath a fern as opposed to climb a tree.
Interesting. And when did this happen?
This was pretty recent. I think it was 2021.
Wow.
So here's the thing. Whatever it was, didn't try to eat him. Which is also another unusual thing that kind of points towards it not being a predator. Because if it was a mountain lion and it was hunting, normally they would mark kill so that way to scare off any other scavengers so they could come back for it. Bears also normally bury their prey so that the bugs will come and soften it up first. Because the bears are odd like that. They prefer the bugs to infest the carcasses so they can come back and get the bugs too, as the bugs are more nutritious for them. Very odd thing, bears. As far as I know, dogs, like wolves and that sort of thing, do not store their prey. They travel in packs and normally eat the whole thing. But as far as I can tell, I have never found a single instance of a dog man eating its prey, unless it was something like I've heard of it eating parts of horses, but not a whole horse. I've heard it eating cows, and I would imagine it eats smaller livestock if it eats a cow. But that sounds like about what you've heard, Eric. Not that they eat people.
Yeah, pretty much along the lines. Thought just occurred. What if it was just a serial killer?
Yeah, so they didn't find any footprints that would match that. In fact, they didn't find any prints around him at all. They did some tracks of small dogs that had been through the area, but those didn't even come close to the body. There was no human tracks. The only tracks they could find were his own, and his tracks were very prominent in the soft dirt of the creek bed.
Okay, what if it was a ghost demon?
Yeah, well, I have a theory. I don't believe that Dogman is your ordinary cryptid. I think that Dogman is probably closer to a werewolf than it is an actual Dogman. Because the thing is, Dogman phenomenon is pretty new. They didn't start getting reported until after there was a song made by a fella named Cook. He wrote this song called The Legend, where it mentioned accounts of the Dogman, but he had made up all of the accounts in the song. But it wasn't until after that people started actually using Dogman, putting Dogman to sightings. I would assume that every sighting of a Dogman before then was just called a werewolf, or the Beast of Bray Road, or the Creature of the Land Between the Lakes.
You know what I think it is?
Skinwalkers?
Skinwalkers.
Yeah, that was another one. So here's the thing. If I was a skinwalker, right, and I just absolutely wanted to scare the pants off of people, and this new phenomenon comes out, and people are all talking about this dog man, and I have the ability to shapeshift into whatever really I want, I'm going to be like, yeah, let me see what I can turn into that's about what they're talking about. And just go around and tap on windows and play around with people. Because that's one thing that dogmen are reported to do. They not attack, but just scare the ever-living snot out of people.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Go up and they'll scratch on doors and rattle doorknobs, but they won't open them. They'll just rattle the doorknob. They'll peer in windows until you see them. And the second you see them, they take off running. There was one story, a very short story, of this little girl who saw one peering in, and every time she looked at it, it would duck. And so she started playing this game with it of peekaboo until an adult walked in, and then it ran away. Those things, part of them seem like they're just trolling you. So that does kind of sound like a bunch of skinwalkers just out there messing with you.
That is one brave kid. This one happened in Collin County, which is the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This happened in April of 2018, and they said, I came back from work around midnight. Like most nights, I sat down on my back porch and lit a cigarette to relax. However, unlike most nights, I heard something new. I'm used to coyotes and my neighbor's dog barking, but in this case, I heard something new. It sounded like a deep howl, but instead of the usual dog sound, it stayed as one tone, and it was octaves deeper. I heard it go from backyard to backyard, and the neighbor's dog took notice. The dog's barking triggered one of my dogs to run out to the fence line. She began to bark at something unseen, at least from my perspective. I got up and I told her, "Hey, come back, it's alright." She turned to me, and she sat there, utterly frozen in fear. It took a few minutes to break her out of this, and she bolted back to the door. I decided to poke my head out of the gate and look into the field behind the fence. By the tree line, I saw these amber-colored eyes, standing about 5 feet above the ground. I decided to run in and took up my knife and ran out in the direction of the eyes. The whole time I walked, I heard the howls. However, though, when I got close to where I initially saw the eyes, every sound stopped. You could literally hear a pin drop. Where I didn't see anything, I felt the presence of something watching me. After a few moments, I walked back to the porch, sat down, and had another smoke. It was then the howls started again, but this time, they came from my neighbor's backyard. They have two shepherds, and I will never forget the sound. The first sound I heard, this guttural growl noise, unlike anything I've heard before. Then one of the shepherds shriek. Then I heard the other get slammed against the fence. One thing led to another, and I heard my neighbor fire off a round. Then I heard this thing trail off. The next encounter was just 3 nights later. I heard the howls again, but this time I heard it making its way through the tree line behind the back lot of my house. I heard the thumping of its feet, and the branches were snapping. My instinct kicked in to go get cover, so I shut off the porch light and allowed my eyes to get adjusted. There was enough light to clearly see the opening in the tree line that's about the size of two of him wide, he says, and about 9+ feet high. I watched in the direction where the noise were coming from, and then all of a sudden, I see it stand up. I first saw the ears, tall and sharp like knives. I then see its head, followed by its broad shoulders and long arms. It stood there, watching for what seemed like forever, until it turned around and left. It took massive strides on two legs to walk off. It's because of this I have been conducting an investigation of this thing on my own. I learned there were other similar encounters in Firestone County, not very far from me.
Did he mention whether or not the neighbor's dogs were injured?
He didn't say. I'm assuming the neighbor's dogs were okay for the most part, since he did mention that the neighbor shot off a round to scare the dog man away.
Well, I'm guessing that he went and talked to his neighbor later on, but the fact that he doesn't include that conversation with his neighbor makes me assume that the neighbor doesn't want anything to do with it. So whatever the neighbor saw, I'm sure that he just wishes that he had never seen it.
Yeah, maybe the neighbor didn't really get a good look, so he couldn't really say anything, you know?
That is one thing, though, that I will mention that is one difference between this and a werewolf, is werewolves, from all that I can, all the stories I've heard, is they shrug off bullets. Except, you know, the supposed silver bullets, though. I do wonder about whether or not that's true or not, or if that's just some fairy tale. I don't even know if silver bullets have ever actually truly been made. But I do know that werewolves do not seem to fear guns, whereas dogmen do. So I need to look into that and see if skinwalkers actually fear bullets. That would be a weird way to figure out what category they're in, is how do they react to bullets? I'm pretty sure I've heard of people shooting at dogmen with bullets. Doesn't kill them, but or not killing them, but wounding them. Or maybe I heard of one where a guy shot a skinwalker and it turned into a small dog.
Yeah, I did hear that.
So that would be... So I would definitely say that this dog man does seem to lean towards more being a skinwalker than a werewolf, which, oh man, I would not want to meet a skinwalker.
Hey, Conrad, do you remember when you woke up really early in the morning, maybe about a year, maybe 2 years ago, and you heard strange noises? Yeah. Did you ever figure out what that was?
No. I've been outside, and when my sister was visiting and she heard it, she said, oh, that's nothing. But no, I have never figured out what it is. I don't think it's a dog man. Normally, dog men, they say, sound like shrieking, almost like a human scream. That's the first, or sometimes howling, but I don't think that whatever I've been hearing is a dog man. It sounds more like the call of something, almost like the bugling of an elk, but definitely not an elk.
What if it's elk man?
Oh, boy. Which again, I imagine that elk man is...
I would imagine that would be a skinwalker.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of an elk man. I'm trying to think of any mythology of like a... There are a few I've heard of that have elk heads, some apparitions that appear with elk heads, but they're normally elk skulls, like some sort of a phantom of some kind that's got rags and a...
You know, I've definitely heard of elk beings, but they're usually in like, kind of like those forest fairy myths.
Yeah, I think like a Wendigo or something.
Yeah. Doing dogman research, I came across a lot of Wendigo encounters, so... This story takes place in Hancock County, Mississippi. This occurred in early December 2011, at around 2 a.m. in the morning. A friend of mine was over, sitting in my bedroom hanging out, when we both noticed something moving on my surveillance monitor. I had a camera pointed down my driveway, so I could see whenever someone came up. When we both looked, I saw what appeared to be a large canine running on all fours, and in mid-run, this thing came up on its hind legs, then continued running across the field and across my driveway into my neighbor's field on two legs. My neighbor is my brother, by the way. I was in total shock, and my friend immediately turned to me with her mouth wide open. So I asked her, "What did you just see?" She then replied with the same question, asking me what I saw. And I knew where this was going, so I asked her, "How many legs was it running on?" She said it was running on all four, but then went to two. That's when I had a cold chill run down my body, as I knew she saw what I did. I immediately jumped up and grabbed my night vision scope that I had recently purchased. We both ran to my front door. I must admit I was hesitant to open that door, for fear of it maybe still being there. So I opened the door while letting out a roar, as to maybe shock it if it was there. But it wasn't, and you can't blame me for trying. I cautiously walked out and took the scope to scan the field. There was nothing to see, and I didn't get a clear look in the direction it went. I waited until daybreak to go look for it, where it had crossed my driveway, and I found a paw print that was a good 12 by 12. I was stunned. I just stood there looking. I had no way to save the print, and didn't think to take a picture at the time. But what I can tell you is what I saw on my monitor. This thing was massive in its upper body. I can still remember seeing the muscles flexing and the muscularity in its upper back as it came to its full height. Now, by judging the height of my weeds in the field, I would estimate it to be a good 8 feet tall. And due to the camera only showing black and white, I didn't get to see it in color, and it was dark. However, its head is something else, and it stood out as I could see the snout and its pointed ears. Now, I am an R&D technician, so I am trained to watch for detail even though this thing was moving fast, faster than any human. I was transfixed on its form and what I was seeing. If I had to guess, it was headed south onto the property that connects to the Stinson Space Center buff zone, which is over 100,000 acres of untouched and uninhabited acreage. So, it has all the resources it needs in order to survive in those woods, and to go undetected. I have always been an outdoors man, but since that sighting, I just won't go into the woods without a gun on me now. I know for a fact, I don't want to run into that thing up close.
Two things occurred to me when listening to that one. First, normally when people describe a dog man, they describe it like he did, very muscular. What animals in the wild do you know of, Eric, that you would describe as muscular? Obviously, the gorilla is something that just appears to have lots of muscles. You just look at that and you go, yeah, that thing's muscular.
Right.
But even strong animals, you don't normally describe them as muscular. Like a hippo is very strong. The people, when they describe hippos and what they look like, they don't go, yeah, this very muscular hippo, even though it's strong. Or cows, they have a lot of muscle on them, but you really wouldn't know by looking at them. They look kind of flabby. But they're actually have tons of muscle. I mean, that's where all the steak comes from. But you wouldn't describe them as muscular. Horses, I've seen a lot of horses that I go, yeah, that one right there's got a defined shape. That one's a very muscular horse. Let's see, what other animals? But even when it comes to things like wolves and tigers and cougars and that sort of thing, most of the time you wouldn't say they look muscular. Normally, especially with the big cats, they have all that loose fur, which would hide their muscles. And dogs, I've seen some dogs that look muscular, but for the most part, most animals just don't look, or you wouldn't describe them as, oh yeah, it's ripped like a dog man. Dog man's got so many muscles, right? Just a little unusual, I would think, that the dog man gets that description. So I wonder what it is about the dog man that makes it look that way. Because I would say that its appearance is just unnatural.
I don't know. Maybe this one was a little more muscular than usual. He did say he was...
No, it's pretty...
I was going to say, he was looking at it through his surveillance monitor. And I think most of us could recognize, you don't get really a lot of detail on security monitors. Right? They're kind of fuzzy. They don't have a lot of detail in them. So the fact that that stood out for him makes me think this one might have been a little more beefier than the normal.
But I'm just saying, that's a normal description that people have of the dog man when they see it, is that it is muscular. They don't say, oh yeah, it was just like a big wolf standing on its hind legs. They say that it had a form like an ape or something, where it has muscles. And especially if you look at any of the drawings or sketches, they never have it look like a scrawny animal.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Minnesota, Forest Lake. Me and the kids saw some kind of creature at the edge of a field stalking a group of deer. It was just before sunset at about 7 to 8 p.m. And yes, it was moving its head and ears. We only captured its attention a few times, to where it turned around and looked directly at us, but then it would immediately turn back to watch the deer. So it wasn't concerned with us at all. It was completely fixated on the deer. I know it's another typical blurry picture, but you can make out its features. It was across a large field, and this is the clearest picture our phones could get. You can clearly see its ears, eyes, and the shape of its head. Long arms in the front, and what looked like a mane around its neck where the hair is longer and thicker. It doesn't look like a bear to me, and there aren't any cougars around this area, not that I'm aware of. This was out east in Lake Minnesota, where a family friend of ours had a pretty terrifying encounter some years back with a creature that walked on two legs, bent backwards, and ran across the road right in front of their vehicles. She's so traumatized by the experience that she won't even talk about it. It taught me to keep an open mind about things. Maybe the Dogman is real. This next encounter happened in Washington, Maine. I have a sighting to report. My old neighbor, who committed suicide shortly after his experience, came to me with his experience. We were both registered Maine guides, hunting, fishing, recreation. Guiding in Maine is a serious business. The criteria are strict, and guides are expert woodsmen with years of outdoor experience. Anyways, he confided in me about this sighting. He was hunting on his own property during deer season of 2011. This property is located on the Jefferson/Washington town lines. They're also known as the Knox and Lincoln County lines in Maine. The particular property is a Christmas tree farm and is private property. My friend was watching a run where deer regularly traveled. Cutting through his property, he observed for about a minute when a bipedal creature walking with its upper body well above his Christmas trees. It had a wolf's head, very muscular and covered in hair, but walking like a man. At the end of the sighting, the creature dropped to all fours and took off down the path. He was shaking when he told me the story, and based upon my few years working in law enforcement, I don't believe he was lying. Both of us guided for bear hunters at the time, and I know he was very familiar with bears and Maine wildlife in general. He made a particular emphasis on the pointed ears. He said it looked like a werewolf. In Maine, people do see these things, but they generally call them Wendigo. After that sighting, I carried a firearm going to my barn every night because I'm certain he told me the truth. Unfortunately, he, for some unknown reason, committed suicide shortly after he told me about his sighting, which was very fresh at the time. The area has some large tracts of woods with very limited access due to it being private property. There is a stream passing through the area and some high ridges. Also, old cellar holes and stone walls were scattered throughout the forest behind the property. Food sources are plentiful in this area, with old apple trees, berry patches, deer, turkey, and yes, bears are present in the area, but not in large numbers. Moose are also present, but again, not in large numbers. While I still own a house very near to that spot, I moved to South Dakota, and I have no intentions of moving back to Maine due to political economic reasons. I am curious, however, if other Maine folks have seen these things. It seems to me that people have, but always kept hush about it. I do have one more story of the Dogman.
All right, go.
And that one comes from Louisiana in Jefferson Parish. And this happened November 2012. Now, it starts off with my encounter happened a few years ago in South Jefferson Parish, Louisiana. Here in Louisiana, we call counties parishes, in case you didn't know. I was hunting deer or wild pig one night on a protection levee system that was built to protect the town from hurricane floodwaters. As I walked to where the levee turns off to the left, there was a canal woods that was about 100 yards from some houses. To the left was a natural bridge that goes out into swamps and marshes. Well, as I made that turn from the ridge of oak trees, I heard a growl. I thought it might have been a coyote or dog, so I walked slower. Then I heard brush and a smaller size tree shake and another growl. I shunned my light in the direction of the sound and saw a pair of eyes that were reflecting an amber/yellow color. What surprised me was the fact that the brush was about 6 foot high and the eyes were about a foot above the brush. When I saw those eyes, I slowly backed up while keeping my light on the thing. As I walked back to the turn to head back to my truck, which was parked about 3/4 of a mile away. It came out of the woods. I lit the thing up with my light again. Now, I was probably 30 feet away from it. I saw its whole body and face. The body was covered with black hair and some brown mixed in. The hair was thickest around its head, neck, chest, and upper back. It looked a lot like a lion's mane, but wasn't as pronounced. Since all of the hair was the same color, it had pointy ears, with a little bit of hair coming off the points, making the ears seem a little longer. It stood on two legs, but the legs were weird and backwards-like. The arms were really long, longer than the legs. Its hands were like a mixture of human and bear. Like really big raccoon front paws. It had paws, but it also had fingers. That's the only way I can describe it. If you watch the movie The Howling, you'll get an idea of what this thing looked like. It's as if whoever made that movie knew something others didn't. Now, at this point, I was freaking out, so I pulled up my rifle. I hunt with a Romanian AK with a camo paint job I did myself. The way I was hunting wasn't exactly legal. That's why I took my Romanian AK. If I had to toss it, I wouldn't be out of much money. The rounds I used are special rounds, made to hunt feral hogs. I've dropped deer and hogs with these rounds before. One shot and they're done. But back to the story. As I pulled up my rifle and ready, it growled and walked a few steps towards me. I fired a round right into its chest area. I knew I had hit it because the creature took a step back. As it stepped back, I ran towards my truck. That's when it let out a loud growl and howl like I have never heard before. I grew up hunting and fishing and thought I knew everything in the woods, but I hadn't heard anything like that before. Nothing made that sound. As I ran back to the truck, it stalked me, but it kept its distance. As I got close to the well-lit area where my truck was parked, by the town library and elementary school, it stopped following me. I tried to find anyone who may have heard similar encounters in the area, but all I could find was old legends of the Rougarou. I told my grandpa what I had just saw and what just happened, but I told him that it happened to a friend of mine and not exactly me. I also told him that it sounded like a crazy story to me, and that's when he told me when he was 17 and in the same area at night, hunting, he heard a howl like nothing he had ever heard before. He also told me that something had stalked him as he ran home that night. He said he never saw what it was, but could hear it following him through the bushes and swamps. Anyways, that encounter had changed my life. My perception of what is real and what is not will never be the same again. I still haven't gotten over that night. I went back a few days after that incident and found two large dog tracks, as big as my hand. And I wear a size large glove. And that is the story, and a damn good story, from Louisiana, Jefferson Parish.
I wouldn't recommend running from something like that. They always say that when you meet a wild animal, not to turn and run, because that can cause the predator to think of you, encourages the predator to see you as prey if you turn and run. It might encourage it to chase you.
Yeah, but he had that Romanian AK.
I would say that is the first time I've ever actually heard of someone owning a Romanian AK. Most people who have them are too embarrassed to mention that they have one. It's kind of like, I got low quality budget AK. Anyway, it does seem as though that the wolfman wasn't actually trying to hunt him. I think it was actually trying to scare him off. I think that it was trying to keep him from going somewhere.
Maybe trying to keep him from finding his home or something.
Something like that. Or maybe away from its young or something. I've heard of a juvenile dogman being seen. But it doesn't seem, it definitely seems like it wanted to scare him. It stepped out in front of him. It didn't really approach him. It kind of walked slowly. It stalked him until he started to return to the buildings, and then it stopped. It's like, okay, I've driven him back home. Mission complete. It also didn't run when he shot it. So it was, I'm guessing, assuming that it didn't get the effect that it wanted on him. So it didn't turn and run as soon as he shot it. It still kept trying to bluff him to go away. My advice, if you were to see a dog man, would definitely be to try to go indoors somewhere.
Right.
Now, whether to turn and run or to back away slowly, like they say, I wouldn't actually know. I wouldn't be qualified to give you that advice, but I would just say the general rule of thumb, when you meet a dog man, make sure that you're not caught too far away from home, like you have any control over that.
Sightings of the dog man will continue to be seen and reported as the years come, and tales of the dogman will be told around campfires, passed down from generation to generation. A tale of mystery and caution and uncertainty. If they're real, how did they come to be? And what do they want? In these stories presented today, they don't seem to cause too much harm. However, if you've had a experience with dogman or any werewolf-like creature, and you would like to share it, please email me your story. I would also like to know what you, the listeners, think of these stories and even the sounds of a real dogman that were played earlier. I would love to know your opinions. You can send me an email or you can simply leave a comment in the Q&A of this episode. Well, that will conclude today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to Bizarre Conspiracies. If you want to email me or Conrad, you can do so at bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. Again, that's one word, bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, we will catch you in the next episode.